Hey everyone, this is Patrick from Talking Backwards. As you know, this is part 18, and we've been doing this podcast for a little over 2 years now, and we started our return journey nearly a year ago. So if you've been with us on this wonderful and strange ride, we can't thank you enough. And while you won't be hearing from us nearly as often, we do have plans for the months to come, including our two-part episodes covering Mark Frost's The Final Dossier book, our return recap episode, as well as an interview with Rachel and Max, the co-owners of Tweets Cafe, aka the Double R Diner. The episode you're about to hear was recorded on location in Everett, Washington at Mary Reber's house, aka the Palmer House from Twin Peaks. You can watch this episode exclusively on our Patreon page. You know the address, patreon.com/talkingbackwards. There, you'll get access to our video podcast library with over 31 hours of on-demand content. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode of Talking Backwards.
Welcome back to Talking Backwards, a Twin Peaks podcast. I'm Dave Jackson, joined as always by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
And Tyler Mullins.
I have no idea what the show is anymore.
This is ridiculous. We are...
Where are we, Dave?
We're in the Palmer House.
We are.
That's where we're recording our part 18 episode.
Yeah. This is Sarah's living room.
No
sign of Sarah, though. I haven't seen her.
Not around. Don't know what's going on there.
Probably for the good, though.
Throats.
Yeah. Out biting throats.
For sure.
Elk's, yeah. Elk's point number
nine. As she is wont to do.
Yeah.
Can't thank enough Mary Reber for allowing us into her home and just her generosity and gratitude, the stories we've heard and the conversations we've had.
Yeah.
Opening her home to us to give us this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yep.
To do this here. So thankful, so grateful. This is so wonderful.
Yeah.
It was very nice for her, but then she had the audacity to make us pay for the pizza. Unbelievable.
We did have pizza. That's neither here nor there. Yeah.
But what was here was Pursued by Bear. brought some Pursued by
Bear. We did bring some of Kyle MacLachlan's Pursued by Bear wine as a thank you, and that's the least we could do.
And it was delicious.
Probably the very least.
She was very gracious to share some. Yeah, it was delicious. I'd never had it before.
Just wonderful. Before we get started on this absolute roller coaster of an episode, mm-hmm. I gotta have some Pat stats.
Oh, I've got you there.
Haul out your boy for some Pat stats.
This is part 18 of Twin Peaks The Return, aka season 3, episode 18, aka What Is Your Name from Twin Peaks The Limited Event Series,
aka The End.
AKA, that's the last time.
That's it.
The End, question mark?
David
the
Lynch's End, question final middle
mark.
Finger.
Yeah, the question mark at the end.
The End?
Who knows? Who's to say?
It might be my favorite start of an episode in the entire series.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We start in the Red Room.
Yes.
With a chair on fire.
That's right.
Just Mr. C on fire.
Yeah.
Is that... I'm going to go ahead and say this. We watched the BTS...
We did.
For mm-hmm. this part.
Sure.
What they had that dummy mannequin for?
Ooh, I don't remember.
It really looks like Kyle MacLachlan. The dummy mannequin, I'm pretty sure, was just for the...
Part 17 when he died.
17 on the ground when the orb comes out of the body.
Yeah, which is hilarious because his mouth is just open. He's got like a bloody face. Yeah, that's really funny.
But it's a really good dummy.
It is a really good dummy. Good. It looks like him, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a great picture... Throw it up if I can find it. That I think Kyle posted at one point where he's just holding them up, the dummy. Like they're by each other.
Yeah,
and it's wonderful. Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, but man, the end of Boop.
Yeah, what a better way to see Bob defeated than just motionless in a chair on fire.
Yeah. The magician.
So there's imagery here. That's very cool. The whole thing has been like, and I had this weird theory before about Bob being all about the fire, and maybe everything Judy was about water, and that conflict that they had there, like where it was kind of son against mother, quote unquote. But now here he is in this fire that he's been putting on everybody else, and his whole situation, his whole methodology is undoing him. He's
right.
He's in the bed he made.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
It's delicious. It's he's chef fingers.
He's back chef where we fingers. Belong.
Yeah, just
So Bob is not still with him. But Tyler, you're still with us. That's good.
So. I mean, this is it. I would like to say goodbye to everyone. Take two of these. Call me in the morning. That's it.
But man, you made it.
I did make it.
Yeah.
You made it.
What a journey.
Talk about a roller coaster.
You probably wouldn't have thought, you know, especially the pilot episode ends here in this room, you know, that journey so long ago.
Yeah.
And
I was just a boy.
And this episode, too, even. Ends
naive
here.
And.
You were just a boy.
Stupid.
So back when we tricked you into watching this show, did you think you, A, would make it this far, and B, that you would make it here?
I knew I would always make it this far because I knew I didn't have a choice. I know you're going to say I did. I did not.
You didn't sign anything.
You could have stopped at any time, man.
Yeah.
But Stockholm Syndrome sets in.
Yeah. It does.
It's a real thing.
Well, we've all been friends a long time. You weren't gonna hurt us.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And you
maybe not to you.
Oh, okay. Come on. Why am I getting the shaft here?
You live in a whole different state.
That's true, I guess. You don't have to see me.
Right.
I don't have to see him either, though.
Don't have to.
No, yeah. But no, this is awesome that I'm probably going to say this 30 times tonight that we're sitting right here. So
It is interesting to see your reactions, even to this whole trip, because I am so fresh on Twin Peaks. Like, I don't have this emotional attachment, especially in the return.
Right.
Having only seen everything really just once. But you're like over the moon, like cannot believe it, like living outside of yourself. And I'm like, wow, I inspect homes for a living. So I'm like, oh wow, these moldings are just very nice. I asked when it was built, and I'm just more interested in the house.
It's a nice structure. Rather than the ceiling fan.
Yes. Yeah.
These old colonials are great when they're sound.
Did you inspect the fan?
I did not.
Well, they're still tight.
It's in the standards of practice. I don't inspect fans.
It works.
Yes. I've seen.
Oh,
it works real well.
Yeah. I saw Dave getting lost under it earlier. Just.
I came back.
He's back, though.
Kind of. I don't guess that would be synonymous with, like, the vortex.
Ooh.
Oh.
See, Tyler, you were made for this.
Again.
I've never even thought about that before, but that's perfect. Yeah, like.
There's something else I want to talk about when we get to it that, like, I've seen the series 3 or 4 times through. And.
The number keeps going up.
You just keep watching, you get hooked.
So probably the fourth time through the original series and the third time, The Return. I've watched The Return about 3 times since I started watching The Return. But watching these episodes in triplicate here, and even with you, I'm thinking of things and learning things that just never occurred to me before. Like, that's what having you along for this ride has done for my experience, personally.
You're welcome.
Like, it's this fresh perspective. You, not by choice, but you haven't.
Thank you.
you haven't watched episodes or read things or gone onto any websites or Reddit threads, anything like that, to conflate your theories in any way. It's all just what you've come up with through observation.
Yeah.
And you've come up with some banana stuff. You called things so many times.
It's been amazing.
That I'm just been mind blowing.
What you call a smart person.
Oh, you're one of the smarts.
Yes. I am a Twin Peaks
smart
savant.
You're going to talk. Just go. I'm what you call a smart.
I'm a smart. I don't know how I do it, I guess.
Yep.
I'm not even trying to flex that. I just say stuff that comes to my mind, and sometimes it pans out. Other times, y'all just move on because you feel so bad for me.
Not at all.
Sometimes we just don't hear what you said.
That's also true.
Yes.
It's also true. So yeah, Mr. C is on fire.
Mr. C is on fire.
Beautiful sight.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. You love to see it.
We beat the bad guy?
No.
you beat a bad guy.
Right.
A bad guy.
But what I've learned is that there's no good guys.
Ooh.
Everyone's just a different level of villain, I feel like. Because okay. I thought Judy was going to be some, I don't even know what, like the good versus evil, Bob versus, and like Judy. Mm-hmm. And yep. it was this like ongoing battle for evil. Millennia. And
yeah.
And no.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
As we watch him burn, we stay in the Red Room. Of course, Coop gave Mike a bit of hair.
Yeah, in part 16.
Because he wanted him to make another one.
Make another one, which we know is to make another Tulpa.
Right.
Yeah,
Tulpa. He wants to replicate himself to give to Janie and Sunny Jim, so they have a mannequin of himself to make them happy.
So another situation where, you know, and it's such a funny visual of him getting made, you know, where am I? Like, just totally...
Like a newborn.
Yeah, like a newborn.
So like a newborn grown man.
Yeah, so we see him go home, because he says home, you know, so Janie
we
E is...
See someone who looks like Cooper at the Jones home.
Yeah. So this begs a lot of questions.
Sure.
One question, if this is just Tulpa Cooper, what with the other Dougie, like the OG Doug, like what memories does he have? What does he still work at Lucky Seven? Like these are the questions I have. Like what is he just going back to that life?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the role he's just going to slip back into.
But as a more good Tulpa, whereas the OG Doug was a bad seed, basically, from Mr. C. Well, you can tell right off.
You get a mixed bag when you make a Cooper.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, obviously, Boop went the way he went.
Sure.
You know, David Copperhead.
Right.
And then you have Dougie, who was the philandering, kind of ignorant, whatever he was.
Yep.
And then you have this new Cooper that seems to be this just icon of innocence.
Sure.
Like, as soon as he's born, he's just like, where am I? What is this? It's like, he's fascinated by the things around him, like season one Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of beautiful trees do you have here?
Right.
That and kind
he
of
just, says
just
home, too, that's almost just Dougie-like how we knew.
Like, Cooper okay, Dougie. This is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. That, so it's just like, what? How smart is he? Like, you know, I just.
Well, it's like he has that. It's like he has the Dougie outlook on life with the Cooper intelligence, the sentience.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is a good thing and I'm supposed to be here and this is what I want. So it's the best parts of what Dougie would have been further exposed to that life. I think they're getting the best version for that family that they could have of what he made.
There's one more thing I'd like to touch on quick with this, just because it's a very popular theory I've seen come up a lot. Is that maybe this was Cooper, and that the Tulpa he made is what we see in the rest of the show.
I agree with that.
Is that he decided to actually go home and have the family he always wanted. It's a thought. It is a thought. And it's something to think. I think it's something interesting to think about. So immediately he says home, and we cut immediately back to that scene at the end of part 17 where he's taking Laura home.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting is all. I think it's
maybe he was trying to adapt Laura.
We're going home.
We're going to the Jones house.
Laura
we
Jones.
We got a gym set.
Yeah, brand new. Brand new, man. Yeah. We got tons of finger sandwiches.
Finger sandwiches for days. Courtesy of the Bay Patrol.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets to go home. He's telling Laura they're going home. I don't like that we're shown this again. In fact, I wish this was the first time we're seeing it. I think it shouldn't have happened, like I discussed in the last episode.
Perfect.
Yep.
Seamless.
Because that, to me, you know, a lot of people say that's the happy ending. I think it would be more of a happy ending if that didn't happen in that episode and we saw it here. Because why are we seeing it twice? There's no need to get shown that.
Unless
it is happening again.
This is David Lynch. He's not sloppy.
Right, not at all. It's here for a reason.
This means something.
It's here for a reason, correct?
Other than for our podcast and a clear double.
Yeah.
Like the purest form of a double.
I would have not shown it and given Julie Cruise more time. That's all. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There we go.
The only thing that makes sense to me is if we see it the first time and then maybe that time was going to be successful. Okay. We see it the second time, and that's when whatever switch Judy wanted to flip got switched.
This loop is happening twice.
And that's the one that does not succeed. Yeah. And that's the one you see because that is the end of that loop.
I would have loved
to start another.
I would have loved it so much more just here, because you had that ending the way it was without him walking her through. Mm-hmm. Just say we're going home. Julie Cruise plays out. Started off the episode with this here. New mystery. Bam. Where'd she go?
Any difference in the scenes at all?
Not that I know of. Because what... Let's talk about this.
Maybe a different angle on the change of the angle. Because when he's walking her through, it looks the same the first time when it's kind of the 2D from the side.
Yeah.
Then you cut to with Cooper in front.
Yeah.
And it seems like maybe that angle is a little different the second time.
Right.
That I can't say for sure.
But the material is the same.
The material's the same, yeah.
Because the next thing we see is just a jump cut to the Black Lodge, right? With Mike staring at him again. So, like, you don't ever see him.
It's jarring. And
yeah, it is jarring. You don't, and it's a repeat of, most of it is a repeat of part two, but there are differences, so we'll talk about those. But why wouldn't you just show him walking back into, assuming that's what's happening? Mm-hmm. Like, I just assumed, okay, Laura's gone. I'm going back to Glastonbury Grove now to go figure this out. But also, like, we just got Coop back. Why are you back here? Or are you back here? Or are we seeing, now that Laura's been plucked away, are we getting back to part two?
Did it kind of reset him?
Yeah, it reset him. Because he looks over at Laura's chair and she's not there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the timeline. What
he was looking at.
Obviously looking for her and she's been plucked away.
But then she
shows
up.
Yeah, because he sees her get pulled away the exact same. Sees her getting pulled away the exact same as we saw in the Rent Room, like in the woods. Same scream, exact same scream.
Mm-hmm.
Same noises, the, like, I don't even know how you describe it. It's like fluttering.
I was going to say fluttering. Yeah,
fluttering, yeah. But yeah, there are a few differences here. Lara's not here, because I assume because she wasn't killed. And she was never got the ring put on her.
Got to do something else with her.
Yeah, what's she doing now?
Now what do I do with the only opposition against me?
Yeah. So this time, it's interesting. So they go and talk. They have... go ahead. If I'm jumping going too fast, please.
If Laura didn't die, Ronette would have died.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
She could have.
I think pretty...
Sure.
She did.
Sure. I mean, well, Leland would have gone to the
if you
want to
talk
cabin.
About that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So Ronette and Laura had a relationship, obviously, through the Flesh World articles and their dealings.
Yeah. Up in Canada.
If
Power and the Glory.
Yeah, if Laura had not been a part of that night, then it may have changed. It may have changed. It might have changed something in Ronette's thinking of the events.
Was
like,
that not
she
the
may
night?
Because
Ronette was with...
She was with Jacques and Leo.
Yeah.
But if Laura doesn't show up...
But Leland then... would still go there, but would Leland still care if Laura's not there? Wouldn't he just still go look for Laura?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm just thinking. That's what I would think. I would think.
I'm saying it doesn't necessarily. Laura and Ronette's fate aren't necessarily linked.
Yeah, it's I'm just saying she happened.
If Laura didn't show up to the cabin that night, Ronette might have like, "Hey, something's weird. Laura's not here. I'm gonna leave."
I feel like in Ronette's
Leo
case,
would have been like, "Oh yeah, that's totally fine. Yeah. I understand."
I feel like in Ronette's case, she was just wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With
the unofficial version.
Yeah, and we don't know. We don't have the script. We don't know what happened there. That's not a recorded night.
Oh.
Interesting.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
So Coop's in the Red Room. Mike leads him to the evolution of the arm. Where before when we saw him, he asked him, "Do you remember your doppelganger?" That was in part two. He doesn't ask him that this time. Instead, he asks him, is it the story of the girl who lived down the lane?
Yeah,
that's interesting because we've heard that in this series.
Yeah,
do you remember Tyler?
Obviously not.
But he says, "Is it the story of the little girl who lives down the lane?" Then there's a pause. Is it?
Is it? He says again. Is it? Mm-hmm. Audrey Horne says this to Charlie.
To Charlie.
Don't know which part, but she does say that exact thing.
Yeah.
So that to me that just ties more to Audrey that. This weird Black Lodge thing. I think Charlie's a spirit. I think he's feeding on her Garmin Boza. I think that's what's happening. I think
it's fair.
Okay, so we do get this interesting moment where Cooper is with Laura in the Red Room again, and I almost took it as if he was just remembering that moment, since he didn't see her there before. Again, obviously, we're not told that that's what's happening. That's just how I interpreted what I was seeing.
Yeah. Again, you don't hear what she says.
Yeah, well, yeah, we don't hear any. I hear the secret.
Like she's barely a presence.
Because in the original series, it was my father killed me. Mm-hmm. This is a totally new mystery.
Which is funny, because if that's all she ever whispered to him, then she does the same thing again.
Yeah.
And then the next thing we see is Leland.
Right.
So it's kind of this weird parallel where it's kind of like he's running the gauntlet from the end of season two again.
Right.
But in a slightly different way. He's mm-hmm. having to face kind of the same demons from a different angle.
Right.
So he gets Leland again, but instead of the wide-eyed Leland saying, I didn't kill anybody.
Right.
He has a very distressed Leland.
Yeah.
Asking him to find Laura,
who's yeah. now missing. Like, it makes that make so much more sense from part two, because he says it in part two also. Mm-hmm. I think just this time the shots are just reversed, you know, of course.
Right.
But yeah, find Laura. It just puts so much more, you know, there's so many things in the show too that with this whole like Laura missing thing, you know, like even the Nine Inch Nails song, she's gone away. I'm just like, mm-hmm. yeah, she didn't die. She's missing now. It's very interesting.
Mm. But we didn't know.
Yeah. We didn't know. That's what I'm saying. Because even with Leland saying, find Laura, we didn't know what he was like, find Laura, she's dead. We know where to find her. We saw the funeral.
You like, find her.
Yeah.
She's around.
Oh, he tried. He tried to jump on the casket. he tried to find her.
It's like at this point, as he's hearing from Leland, is it already the future. New world?
Right. Yeah.
Is it already the new existence that Judy's written?
Again, also.
And if that's the case, can she affect the Lodge?
Right. Yeah. Because time in the Lodge has always been a weird thing.
Right.
Sorry, what did you say?
I said, is she the architect of the Lodge? Oh.
From the Matrix?
Is that a five for five?
The architect from the Matrix.
Six for six?
something like that. So yeah, this is where he does kind of look like Dougie walking down the hall.
Yeah, it kind of does the
feeling.
It's almost like when I was watching it on the plane, it kind of seemed like it was shot backwards.
Yeah.
Because I could see that. Ways he was walking.
It does look strange.
So... I'm not sure.
I'll also, about the backward shots, I couldn't tell every time whether or not shots were backwards. Because when he's... So before, when we've seen Cooper in the Red Room trying to kind of escape the maze that it puts up, mm-hmm. when he's walking towards corners or trying to find the splits in the curtains, it seems very, like, you know, kind of frantic. And you can tell it's backwards and he's trying to get out of this delirium. But these look like very purposeful strides.
Right.
Like, he knows exactly where to go.
Yeah. This time he's not...
It's like, pointed. Yeah. And it looks normal. Like, it looks like it's forward. It's probably reverse.
But I can see what you mean, because he's walking weird and feeling, and, like, mm-hmm. has no problem leaving this time. Because before, this is when he got stuck with the electric sound. He couldn't leave.
And this time it's almost like, okay, where was it?
He had to go to non-existent and get out through the blob box and go to the mob zone, get out the hard way. Yeah. Like, now he has no problem exiting through the curtain. Like, this is, like, wild. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing now. Like, you're almost like a spirit yourself.
Like, I've been here before.
Maybe he has a new one.
Maybe he's a new
a new breed.
Ooh. A hybrid. Wow.
We don't need that. We've already got too many things.
Ooh. hybrid.
Secret history callback.
The hybrid soda.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he finds his way right out of the Lodge.
Yeah.
And into Glastonbury Grove.
Yeah. This is the curtain call, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, in the last... episode in the last part he tells Diane, see you at the curtain call. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what that meant. Okay, she apparently did. She's here.
Yep.
Just one, I love just seeing, I've always loved seeing the curtains with the tree, the sycamore trees and Glastonbury Grove. It's mm-hmm. good to, like, I know Hawk went looking for it, you know, in part two. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to see him exit. I just always loved that visual of the curtains in the woods. With Diane being here, I don't know that I'm buying the situation. It doesn't seem as confident as them in the last episode seeing each other for the first time. A little more, is it really you?
Yeah, they ask each other again.
Yeah, and it's more of her that I'm getting the vibe. Like, I'm not sure what's going on, which is weird. But he too is just like, they're just kind of soft-spoken and just not as like, I don't know. Would you be running into each other's arms? What would you be doing? I don't know. Like,
it feels like
I don't know.
The chemistry I'm getting off of them, and like I know Kyle MacLachlan's great, and I know Laura Dern is great, and I know David Lynch has a very specific way of directing. The energy I get off of these two characters in this moment is we're doing this because we have to.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Not like, I'm so happy I found you. Like, it's so good to see you. Like, I need you to confirm it's you so I can be happy in this moment.
Right.
It's like, we're here to do our part.
Yeah. Right.
Almost like
we're here to work.
Almost like
we're here to work.
Almost like, what's the password? Like like spies exchanging information.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like I should have
had a password.
Like, it's cloudy outside today, but the owls are still here.
Yeah. Like, the owls are not what they seem.
Yeah.
Or are they?
Maybe. This is another one of those where I don't buy it. This is people looking for an ending because they didn't like the ending of part 18. Is like, people think this is like the end, but I'm like, well, then when did the hell did they meet and go drive 430 miles next?
Exactly.
Like, yeah. So I don't buy it, people.
But regardless of which version of Cooper this is or which version of Diane this is, they are together to do this last thing.
Yeah. This last mission.
Yeah, it's...
Which is plays back in, and I'm going to talk...
Yeah, it's like a mission. It's like spies on a mission.
Yeah. My newer theory that I've had on recent rewatches of that her getting pulled away in the woods before she disappears, that it might be part of the fireman's plan, is because they're continuing their mission here. Like, this is what they were supposed to do from the fireman's clues. I don't know if that's true. I've just started...
80,000 things he
had? Yes, from the beginning. I'm starting to feel that way, because they were all... connected, listen to the sounds. We heard the sounds pull Lara away.
Mm-hmm.
Right before they're walking with her in part 17, they do show, because I don't know what to call it. It doesn't really have, I guess, Jackrabbit's Palace, the smoke. They show that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder if they're walking near there when she gets plucked away. Yeah, like she gets pulled away into the vortex just quicker than we've seen people get pulled away.
But so if that was the case, then she would have been taken to the White Lodge.
Correct.
Which is where she would theoretically be safe.
And be put into a safe world.
Yeah,
which is where they're going.
I feel like the giant's evil.
I definitely think the giant has his own...
Definitely evil.
Maybe they're all just varying levels of evil.
Yeah, that's what
I mean, giant for sure.
There's no good and evil. It's all just like...
Giant for sure has his own motives.
Like Mist.
Yeah.
Red Book, Blue Book, they're both bad sons.
All these characters are pawns in the giant's game against
Cyril
Judy.
Pawns?
Yes. Tyler, look at you, man. You, in the words of Dave, to you... are a super fan.
Wrong.
It's true. It's true. You got a gift, buddy.
Now that's a great theory. Like, maybe there's just no good guy.
Yeah, I do think that.
Maybe there's just opposing forces who have their own ideas of what is balance.
Because I even have questions about Cooper.
I think it's a slow corruption of everyone who's exists in Twin Peaks. And I guess these loops or whatever, are just the same characters, and almost like how Leland is Bob, but the way they look is interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
But if Coop is this Richard Tremaine, like... That thinking of those two things together made me feel like, do people go through something and they all just switch to the roles, like and it's this like ongoing
constant like
weird universe thing where Dave sleeps with his wife and then he wakes up and he's Patrick.
Right, he's me now.
And
Dave, you are me now.
It's you know.
We'll see. We'll see tomorrow.
Like this weird kind of ongoing thing, and it's all like...
And I point that all back. It's all Philip Jeffries' fault with that damn 8 infinity symbol. It's like, you are all stuck. Because, you know, a little ball appears in it, and it just moves around. It's like, you all are just on a loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I feel like everybody just keeps getting constantly shifted into a different role to fit into this...
game.
...machine of control.
Yeah.
Call it a game.
Yeah, White Lodge, Black Lodge... Maybe neither one of them is right, but they both...
It's called Gray Lodge.
They're both trying to check and balance the other side.
Yeah.
So if one makes a Bob, they make a Laura. You know, they try to just undo or balance out whatever the other side
does. It's not about good and evil, it's just balance.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then there's a dumb side plot where James goes to the marshlands.
Yep.
that guy.
Not everything plays in, but
sometimes you gotta like go hide out.
Still baffled by his presence in part 17. Yeah. Wildly unnecessary.
Yeah, they brought up James, but they couldn't bring up the drunk.
So with Cooper and Diane that we have here, I think it's interesting that we have two people who have touched both sides.
Yep.
Like in whatever form, they've both been tulpas. They've both been themselves.
But they haven't, like, tulpas have existed. Like, they aren't the tulpas, are they?
We're led to believe they're not.
Like, who are you talking about?
Cooper and Diane.
Oh, I mean, right. Like, the yeah. original
We're led
person,
to believe that they're not.
The yes, original person doesn't have the experience of being a tulpa, do they?
I wonder.
It's a weird question.
Yeah.
It's like, if when that balloon pops, does that, yeah. does all of that go into the atmosphere and reabsorb into...
I feel like it does because
they just start their loop.
Right, because I get the vibe of, yeah, wherever
like we were talking about, like, Cooper got information
yeah.
and had kind of
and
eyes,
also pretty sure he retained
around.
Mr. C's memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I feel like you just know.
Maybe not, but, I mean, there's no hard evidence for it, but yeah. we're led to believe that these are the actual original Cooper and Diane's.
We're supposed to believe.
We're supposed to believe that.
I don't
but,
trust anybody.
But this Cooper feels tainted.
Yeah.
And this Diane feels unsteady.
Tainted.
But truthfully, I don't know. Like, do you feel that they seem that way only after they cross the 430 mark? Or Mm-mm. do you feel that way before Mm-mm. the 430 mark?
As soon as he comes out of the curtains,
okay.
I feel like this is the wrong Cooper.
Okay.
Just his interaction with Diane, it's cold.
Okay.
It's machine-like. It's like yeah. a drone
yeah.
doing its thing.
Yeah.
Like
it definitely felt,
to
I agree, like it just seems like they're there to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
Like what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's how it seems.
And I mean, I guess it would make sense if this was actually original Cooper, but I mean, it would make sense because if you're going off of season one, that Cooper going through all of this, mm-hmm. like spending 25 years in this limbo,
mm-hmm.
coming back out, getting all this information, doing this nutty thing, and now he's
only
suddenly,
to go back and do another nutty thing.
To go back and do another nutty thing.
Yeah.
Like, would that not twist your mind a little bit? Yeah. Would that not make you?
It's probably because he
numb yeah. to everything around you. It's like I've seen it all, man.
Yeah. It's probably because he went back into the Black Lodge twice. That's what he shouldn't have done. Assuming that's
times,
what happened.
How many times you have to touch the stove before you know it's hot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Assuming that's what happened.
So it's.
3 to 5 times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Because I remember even seeing theories that people thought just because, you know, it's interesting because the scene in 1989's black and white turns color. You know, anything we've seen in the past, for the most part, I'm pretty sure, has been black and white, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's confusing about that is the giant scenes.
Well, that happened in... At the beginning. When right. Coop and Laura were walking.
Right, like it fades, it turns yeah. to color after mm-hmm. he saves her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so then there was the theory that
indicating
that him and Diane were in like 1989 still at the end of this, which I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, how did Diane get there?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I did see that a lot. I've seen that theory a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because we don't know what time it is when they get in this old car. And where do they start and where do they begin? 430 miles, like, to where?
From where to where?
From where to where? We don't yeah. know.
How did she just happen to be outside of yeah. the grove when he...
The car out? Is such a throw-off.
Yeah.
What?
And even that changes later.
I right.
It was but quite purposeful.
Talk about it.
We're not even 10 minutes into the episode yet.
This is from the Cars and Twin Peaks coffee
so
table
much.
Book that we teased on our
just so much.
Yes. Or whenever it was. I don't even know. Yeah, there's so much. So, 430, he thinks he needs a kiss before because I guess things are going to be different.
Yeah, but let's put him in the car first.
Yeah.
Let's put him in the car. So he comes out, Glastonbury Grove, sees Diane. They confirm they're each other. And now they're just in the car.
Yeah.
And they're driving. It's the... I assume the same desert road that Coop had or Boop had.
His wreck.
What's his face? Engleface. Richard N.
Yeah.
Driving to Lightning Rock.
Matthew McConaughey.
Lightning Rock.
McConaughey.
Oh, Lightning Rock.
They drive to the Lightning Rock location.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Diane says something along the lines of, what if it's not what we think it is past here? Because he's like, this is exactly 430 miles. Again, from where to where, we don't know.
Yeah.
But exactly 430 miles. She's like, what if it's not what we think? And he just says, kiss me.
It's weird.
He gets out, he checks it. It's like, this is the place.
Yeah. We'll see all the electric, I don't know what you, the poles. Mm-hmm. I don't know what those things
are. Yeah, sees the pole, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear all the just electricity crackling, which... just weird. Checks his watch, like, okay, this is the spot.
Yeah, we don't get a whole lot of explanation for it. We just have to take our context clues from
it's weird they don't have to do more to cross over. They just sort of put it in neutral and just
yeah, they kind of coast
across. You don't have to go 88 miles per hour.
1.21 gigawatts.
Right. You don't
it's not to. Back to the Future.
Yeah, they coast through, and it's night all of a sudden.
And
yeah.
We're driving fast.
we're zooming.
We're zooming.
Going.
Dark road, lost highway, perhaps?
It does seem to be a type of lost highway.
Yeah, a lot of lost highway vibes.
Yeah, they just pull up to this motel. I don't know where they think they're going or seedy what, motel, their, what their plan yeah. is.
Is it just the first stop in this dream? I like to call this the dream world. I don't know. That's just what I call it.
It doesn't feel like they really have a goal. It's like they're just driving.
Yeah, they're just driving. Yeah, this is where we're stopping. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I feel that, well, I do think they have the goal. The goal is to go in here and do it. I think that's what they have to do.
Yeah.
Sex virtual?
Yes.
Sex virtual. Not pleasure.
Right. This is business. This is business.
It certainly does not seem like pleasure when the act comes around.
But yeah, Coop goes in to book a room. Mm-hmm. Diane's looking out the window, and she sees Diane.
Yeah.
Diane is here. We have two Dianes.
She's had two visions.
She's had two Dianes.
Yep.
Two Dianes. What's this about?
So, my theory, I will talk about after we talk about the next scene, because...
Sure.
We got to get through this before I can really contextualize my theory.
Yeah, okay.
They just get a room.
Yeah.
And they go in there and...
Coop needs to turn the lights off.
Yeah, he's like, no, I don't want to look at you.
He's very self-conscious about his body.
Maybe Judy won't see him with the lights off.
Hey, well.
Because the lights are on in the glass box. Right.
Yep. Now
just a thought.
Now they want the lights off for this.
All that stuff is just so far gone. I thought it was going to be so... prevalent.
It is. It's this. I think she comes in. They. The goal is, in my opinion, is to lure Judy into this world. That's what they're doing here. Because the world changes. Judy shows up. Judy's now here. I think it's a trap world, but we'll get to it.
Yeah, trap world. So I do think this is just part of the plan. This is just what they're supposed to do. They like again. They're like spies on a mission. This is just the next step. It's very mechanical.
Yeah.
She's like, what happens next? Like, she's taking orders.
Yeah.
Like, well, Lex, you come over here to me.
Yeah. The most interesting thing about this is he's calling her Diane, but she never calls him anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I feel like when she saw, and I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead to what you were going to talk about, when she saw herself outside, almost felt like she was falling into that role of Linda, letting herself go of Diane, and not remembering Cooper.
Mm.
But Cooper retained... memories of the plan, at least some of them,
sure,
if not all of them. That's my read on it.
So this sex scene is
something
uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like to put a blanket term on it, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it's
and to go back to the glass box thing,
long.
These take place about 30 minutes from the.
Yeah.
And same as 30 in and doing basically the same.
But that thing. Was like involved.
That was 18 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had coffee, murder.
Yeah.
Well, the makings of
the lights were off this time.
Yeah. Foreplay.
Yeah.
It was all there.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
this.
Passion.
Passion. SD cards.
Yeah.
SD cards.
Cameras.
A lot of cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of lights.
Yes.
A
lot of lights. A lot of lights.
A lot of light.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's not what we get here.
That's what we do.
There's a point where Diane, on top of Cooper, starts to put her hands on his face. And it starts as kind of similarly to Naito in 17, kind of feeling his face to the way someone without vision would kind of read your face to check for who you are.
Yep.
But she's almost doing it like she's checking for who he is before she is just straight covering his face.
Like she just want to see him, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's just like eyes to the sky, like let's just get this over with.
Yeah. Also important, my prayer, the platters again. So in part 8 callback with Judy, I think, from the Judy stuff in part 8, I feel like that's that's very important. I mean, he wouldn't use the same song for, you know, like it is put there to make you think of the end of part 8. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's a tough watch.
It's a very tough watch. Yeah.
But by the end of that, it's a pretty much immediate cut to Cooper waking up the next morning by himself with a note that is from a Linda to a Richard saying, "I've gone. I don't know who you are anymore. Don't try to find me."
You know who this is.
Dear Richard, what you say?
Yes. It is Dick and Linda Tremaine.
Tyler's stuck on this theory.
They're out here.
They're out in this. This is their world.
This is their world.
Yeah.
So my theory from before is when Diane sees this other Diane after they pull up, kind of like you were saying before, Patrick, like almost like she's seeing herself let go, but I think it's more literal than that. I think she actually swaps places with this other Diane who is probably manufactured for a purpose.
Sure.
This is probably just like a more malleable drone.
Yeah.
To take this conscious Diane's place and just do what has to be done without emotion being involved.
Yeah.
A tool. Is my theory. I think she actually physically swapped with whatever this other thing was.
Yeah.
To make this sex ritual happen. Right. To call Judy to this place to do whatever.
Into this dream world.
Into this dream world, too. Yeah. Maybe an attempt to trap Judy,
trap her in a box, so to speak.
But when you're the one who made the trap, how do you trap the trapper?
Right.
Yeah. That's my theory. That's my thinking on it.
Sure. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. And I feel like Linda doesn't recognize her anymore because he's not Richard, he's Cooper.
Of course, as he leaves, it's not even the same hotel.
Exactly. Some things have changed in the world now that, in my opinion, with luring Judy in, you know, the biggest clue is once he gets on the road. Yeah. But we'll get there.
This isn't the bed Cooper went to sleep in.
Yeah.
He woke up in this Richard's place.
Yeah.
Where's Richard now? Who knows? But
right.
He's just in that spot.
Yeah.
And Linda may not have even been Diane from the night before.
Yeah. Also doesn't recognize him, much like Audrey says to Charlie, like, "I don't even recognize you anymore."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Walks out. The motel's completely different. The car's different. This is a different time, different place.
Yep. Same car too. Mr. C Rex in part 2.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. Same car. Cars and Twin Peaks.
Who knew?
Yeah.
So Cooper just sets out into town.
Yeah, we're in Odessa now.
Yep.
Okay, now we at least have a destination.
Yeah, we don't know where we were before when they drove through into the night.
Yeah, so now the rest of the episode is Del Cooper's...
The night door.
Yeah.
Del Cooper's Odessa Odyssey. I don't know.
And it's a weird one.
It is a weird one. Well, when he pulls out of the hotel too, we get the light pole by the tree that totally... looks like the arm, you know, you get the little ball, and that's apparently not there, like, by that hotel. I'm pretty sure that was intentionally
Had to be intentional,
to give you, give you the spooky-ookies, as you say.
You don't like the spooky-ookies.
Yeah. Eat at Judy's? No, thank you.
He's gonna.
I guess.
Now, Coop's gonna pop in. He sees the sign for eat at Judy's. Judy obviously rings a bell. This is just his waypoint.
Yeah, looking, just going for clues.
Like,
looking for
I don't have any other clues.
Words he knows. Yeah,
got to be where I belong.
That's weird. I do love the shot actually when he walks into the place. He pulls up, the car pulls up. It's perfect. He gets out of the car, and we just see the inside of the door. It's just perfectly framed, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know he's told to pull into a certain spot, but I just love the way it looks. And he gets out and walks right in, and just the way he looks, like, observes the room is cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another diner. Yep.
Gotta have a diner.
Breakfast, lunch, and diner.
Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a white horse outside of Judy's.
Yes.
Of course there is. So yeah, gets a booth.
Yep. get another not Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah. Which is crazy, right? Like
David Lynch has got a type. He casts these
Daria,
actresses.
Yeah.
And with their wide set eyes.
Yeah. That's three. And it's a triple. Triple. Yeah, it's a triple.
Three's been the theme.
Yeah.
Like as much as doubles were season one and two, it's been triples.
She points it out here too. Their third day off. Yep. It's another third day off.
This waitress serves him and he asks, isn't there another waitress that works here? He's just going off intuition here.
Yeah.
Going to Judy's, this is where he expects to find Laura.
Yeah.
She's not there, so obviously she's supposed to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where I really started getting the Mr. C vibes from him more than just being sort of him being cold. Like, it was way more apparent in this scene. Obviously with the shooting and with not being excited about the coffee and, you know, putting the guns in the fryer. Like, it was just all like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't you. You're...
Yeah.
What's going on?
The gun's in the prior move. Okay, so there is a little bit of coop in the situation where I don't think...
I mean, he does tell him to move away. Yes, yeah. It's not full Mr. C or anything.
Step one, I don't think Mr. C would have been too worried about these cowboys
harassing
the waitress.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah.
He stops them, obviously. Yeah. He's like, let her go, because they're obviously being inappropriate. And as they encroach on him, he's like, no.
Yeah. But also the fact that he's just freely pointing his gun around,
he's in full.
What?
He's a violence man now.
Yeah, he's a violence man.
So he's got kind of that corruption from whatever Mr. C was about. Just starts popping shots in these guys, like not lethal,
right?
But he hurts them
pretty
bad.
Yeah,
incapacitates two, gets the third guy to drop his gun, takes those, demands the address for the other waitress from the one serving him. And this is not Cooper, because this guy drops guns in the fryer, not knowing whether or not it's hot enough to set off the bullets.
Yeah.
That's not
warns him, at least. Yeah. But still, no, you don't.
But he goes ahead and does it first. I don't know if the grease is hot enough to set off the bullets, so maybe step back. Like, no, Cooper knows.
Yeah.
Cooper knows the difference of a weight in a gun if it has bullets in it or not.
Right.
He knows whether or not this grease will set off a bullet.
Right. Yeah.
It just doesn't track.
Yeah.
This isn't right. This isn't him.
Yeah.
But this is who this is now.
Yeah.
Well, this is who we got to follow.
Yeah. This is where we are.
This is where we are. We just have to take this story we're in.
So yeah, then he proceeds to just leave. One of the guys, I love it. One of the guys that he shot, one of the cowboys, he's just like, what the fuck just happened? And that reminds me of Frankenhawk at Jackrabbit's palace.
Yeah.
They're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true.
Just speaking for everybody.
Yeah, I'm just speaking for everybody. Like, I have no idea what's going on. He ventures off to a house. We know it's the right house because of the pole that's outside.
Yeah.
With the number six on it. It's the third.
I've seen that pole.
It's the third six pole in the series. We've had the Firewalk with Me at the Fat Trout Trailer Park. And then we've had the one, again, with Carl Rod at the intersection when the boy gets it. And now this.
Wow.
Six.
Can you believe that?
It's another triple. We don't know who lives here.
Obviously, Cooper's looking for Laura because Leland said to find Laura.
Right.
That's who he's looking for.
That's his mission now.
Well, what else does he have to go on?
Yeah. Well, he couldn't save Laura, so he's going to find Laura.
Yeah, so
it's true.
It's game of keep away at this point.
Yeah. She's going to turn up eventually.
Well, it's kind of keep away, but it's kind of capture the flag. Yeah. A little bit of both.
It's the Gordon Cole joke. My mother's.
Oh, she'll turn.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Want one.
On the turnip farm. She's going to turn up eventually. It's like he's referencing her being missing.
I guess.
Yeah.
So knocks on this door, and it seems like Laura answers the door.
Sure. She answers with a question.
Cheryl Lee, at least.
Yeah, she's Cheryl Lee, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find him? It's the first thing she says.
Did you find him?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. No context for this.
Yeah.
Cooper definitely doesn't have context for this. Yeah, she answers the door, did you find him? And
he's like, Laura?
Yeah. Laura, right?
Yeah.
Like, aren't you Laura Palmer?
Yeah. She's not having it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is Carrie Paige.
This is Carrie Paige. Interesting name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he keeps prying. Woman. Yeah, he keeps prying. He's like, your mother's name is Sarah. Mm-hmm. Your father's name was Leland.
Yeah. Also, second Carrie of the series.
The Carrie Bradshaw.
The grocery store / convenience store from part 12 that Sarah goes into is Carrie's, but with a K. Making some connections there.
Hey-o.
I don't know.
Gotta review the footage.
Seems a little fishy.
Yeah. Carrie Paige, perhaps the missing page?
Perhaps the missing page.
From Laura Palmer's diary?
Yeah, as he starts naming Sarah and Leland, she seems open to talking to Cooper.
She has more of a reaction to Sarah than Leland. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she... I think that's what convinces her, yeah. Mm-hmm. But my favorite part of this, too, is like she's like, normally when someone like you comes around, you know, someone like you comes around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I think Chet Desmond's been here. I think, I'm sorry. I just, with the poll mm-hmm. that was seen when he was missing, I was like, dude, Chet has been here. And where is he now?
Right.
He's come by looking for
him. Did he grow old and shoot himself in the face?
In the face, yeah. Got long hair, yeah, maybe. Yeah, he was undercover.
Undercover.
So yeah, he says he believes that she's a girl named Laura Palmer and he wants to take her home still.
How do you respond to that?
I don't.
I believe you're a girl
named Laura Palmer.
I believe you're somebody else.
And I'm going to take you home. Again. Like,
well, just because I was planning on leaving town anyway.
Yeah, again, why do you want to take her back to this place of horror mm-hmm. for her? But two, she doesn't know where Washington is. She thinks it's D.C., mm-hmm. And she thinks Washington is far.
Yeah.
And
she definitely...
Again, with her name...
He saved her.
Again, with
she
her...
She did not go back to school.
Right. No. See, this stuck out to me that she's a Tulpa. That she's a Dougie Jones. That she doesn't know... Like, she doesn't know things. That immediately was like, she's not Laura Palmer. Her name's Carrie Paige.
And it's another three-syllable name.
Right.
Carrie Paige.
Dougie Jones. Yeah. Carrie Paige. But then that makes a way bigger mystery in my head of, like, where is Laura Palmer?
She's dead.
Wrapped in plastic. The fact that, yeah, she's dumb. Like, she doesn't know where Washington is. Mm-hmm. That made me think of Dougie. And I was like, okay, something's not right here. She doesn't obviously, like, she looks like Laura. She doesn't have the memories of Laura. Yeah.
Laura wasn't dumb.
Yeah, this is a Dougie Jones OG.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
You're right, and I like it.
Thank you.
I don't like it.
Because it's making him rethink, like, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some environmental storytelling going on inside this house.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So let's step inside, and let's just survey the room real quick.
Toilet paper. Something I wouldn't have noticed a year ago.
But now.
Yeah. She just leaves this... pack of toilet paper.
Well, there's like an assisted living toilet seat helper stand with toilet paper stacked up next to it.
Oh, what a visual. Just this house is...
What was her life?
Yeah.
Is it hers?
Who were you taking care of? Because this isn't for
not
you.
This dead man.
No, she took care of
him. No, the dead man's handled.
That she doesn't mention and Cooper doesn't
nobody
ask
mentions
about.
It.
There's no time.
Nobody gives it a second look.
Here's what I don't get. He was so... interested and like he was just talking to her a lot, asking questions when he first got there, and then it's like she agrees to go and they go on this long car ride and like he doesn't say a word, he doesn't start questioning
430
her.
Miles in he's been like, so about that
dead guy. yeah
where's the missing footage of him just going,
I mean, this obviously has something
I can't help but bring up
this obviously has her, you know, this adds up with her saying I got to get out of Dodge, like, hey, do you... Laura killed a guy.
And he just shot him in the head with an automatic rifle.
Or Carrie killed a guy. Yeah, like, and you see the gun on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big gun.
It's a big gun.
Yeah. It's a big illegal-looking gun.
Yeah.
With, like, a grenade launcher attached to it. This is not...
Yeah.
This is not standard issue.
No.
Yeah, yeah, there's a shot-ass guy sitting on a couch. Dead.
Yes.
Completely. Yeah. Rigor mortis.
Yeah. Yeah, his hand was, like, floating.
Yeah.
Rifle on the ground.
Did give me Bob vibes a bit. It almost looked like there was something going on in the stomach that just made me question.
Just like
Bob.
That.
Yeah. Because Bob wouldn't be dead in this.
That Bob ball floating out of there.
In this version. He would have still made it.
It's a mess.
Yeah. Just something to
you
think about.
You don't know that.
I don't.
And a little porcelain white horse on the mantle.
Yeah. What's that about?
I don't know.
Again, just a sign, especially with it being in front of Judy's, now being here, just that this is now...
That's just cute decor, man.
Or it's cute. Yeah. Yeah.
That just looks good.
Pier 1.
I don't know.
She's probably going to need a coat. Yeah.
Two coats?
She has several.
Guaranteed?
Two coats, guaranteed. Yeah. She's got a couple.
Got a couple.
She's concerned that she doesn't have food, but Cooper assures we'll get some on the way.
Yeah.
And she's set to jet.
Maybe stop at a convenience store or two.
Mm-hmm. Or three. So.
It's a long drive.
I shouldn't. I'm done with convenience stores.
It's a drive that wouldn't take... this short of time that it seems on screen.
When I was watching it on the plane,
you fell asleep.
I was like in and out of sleep.
He was.
And it just seemed like they were driving for, I don't know, maybe
forever.
3 to 4 states that we flew over. It was ridiculous.
No lie, when I saw this the first time, it felt like forever because, one, I didn't know where this was going. And I was in such a state of like, oh my God, like, can we go? Like, can we go? I felt like the, why is this happening?
I felt like her.
I was like, what is going on?
David Lynch had a deadline and he missed it. And he was like, all right, B-roll of driving. Go. I need to fill 40 minutes.
Definitely not 40 minutes, but it does feel like the first time you watch it. Yes, every time I've watched it since, it's not nearly as long because I know what's coming. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yes, the first time, like, oh my gosh, this is forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just building that sense of dread. Like, it's like, I know something's not right and I know Sarah's not going to be there. I just know it. I don't know who's going to be there.
I do.
She might be here.
Yeah, Carrie has some offhanded comments about how she tried to keep a clean house.
Yeah, she does say a few things in these scenes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when I was young, I never, or how she worded it, I didn't know any better when I was younger or something like that. That's an interesting comment. Yeah.
Just seems to have a lot of regrets about her time coming up.
Yeah.
And how she did her best, but didn't work out.
Yeah. So they think someone's following them at one point.
Mm-hmm. But the car just passes.
But they pass.
It's fine. Again, just tension and dread. Who is this? It's nobody.
Yeah. Again, I thought like, I was like, oh, the Judy, like how she was following Coop in part 3, you know? Mm-hmm. I was just like, interesting. But they do pass, you're right.
So. Yeah, they just pass on by.
They make it to Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
After some time.
Right.
They drive by the RR. Very interesting to note, the RR to go sign or painting is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes you question what year is this or when is this?
Right.
Because there's just not a to go,
system in place
that we've seen in this entire season.
Yeah.
And today.
Yes.
Yeah, she doesn't recognize anything.
Mm-mm.
Nothing stands out.
Familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, going through a neighborhood, we reach the Palmer House.
Great.
Where we are! Where we are!
It's crazy. Still just bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he takes her home.
I really didn't know what to expect. I know they're looking for Sarah Palmer because that's where Cooper wants to take her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he has it in his head that if he can reunite her with her mother, that they can get away from Leland and go somewhere, and maybe that's how he saves the day.
Yeah.
I don't know what I expected, but I knew it wasn't going to be the right person at the door.
Yeah.
It just...
Yeah, you just knew something was wrong.
It couldn't be.
Right.
It wouldn't work.
Yeah. So this is where in the live stream we did a couple nights ago for this, that he knocks on the door and Tyler says, what year is this? And then he immediately follows it quick with... is Laura at the door?
Mm-hmm.
And I questioned him. I was just like, what do you mean? Like Tulpa or doppelganger? And he said, No, like young Lara. Like you were thinking 1989, like he saved Lara, she's home or something.
Sure.
You know? And it was a that was something I never even thought about before. And yeah, I was like, valid. That's great. I was just like, I mean, sure. Nothing we've seen tells you what year we're in. So
yeah.
I thought that was really cool, Tyler.
Other than his car.
Sure.
Is definitely yeah. newer than
that, yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, and I think some people pointed out like the Odessa like city limit sign, like put it around like 09 or something. Mm-hmm. Which yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Right. I was just that was someone just deep diving on the internet research trying to find anything they could find.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. but anyway,
Not Sarah at the door, not Lara at the door. It is a heretofore unseen character.
Yeah.
Played by our gracious host.
Yes.
And after some questioning, we find out that this is the owner of the home. They got it from a Mrs. Chalfont, but didn't know who had it before them.
We've heard that name before.
Mm-hmm, we have.
Fire Walk With Me.
Granny Gilmore.
Yeah. Carl Rod said two Chalfonts, yeah.
Chalfont. As a matter of fact, Chalfont was the name of the people that rented this space before. Two Chalfonts.
Yeah, it's just again with the Tremonts and Chalfonts having two aliases, two names, just another double. Just
you hate
of course,
to say it.
Yeah, yeah. You have. It's like of course they have multiple names. You gotta have secret names to go by.
Yeah,
covers spies.
Yeah,
spy work.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah. As soon as Chalfont was said, I was just like, oh god.
Like of course it was a Chalfont.
Because you haven't heard Chalfont or Tremont. Though you haven't heard those words. At all in this season.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been mentioned.
Right.
Was it Firewalk With Me last time?
Firewalk With Me, yeah, just for Chalfont. I don't even know if Tremont was mentioned. I could be wrong, but Tremont was for sure in season two.
Season two, yeah.
That was what she went by. Yeah, in season yeah. two. So yeah, it's like, again, you gotta know the show. If you're just binging this, I feel like you know, those names will mean nothing to you when you get to part 18. They mean nothing to you. But then you go back and start rewatching, and then you first get to that first you get to that first Tremont scene.
The game confirmed.
Yes. Yeah, and you think, oh man, like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's connect. That's cool. So when I heard those names, my heart sank, but I was also just like, my brain was spinning, just being like, what is going on? Like, what is going
Doesn't
on?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hands in the air yeah. moment when there's like, but, what's her name? It's like Alice Tremont.
Yeah, it is in our house now.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the evil is now like here. Okay.
So we were talking to Mary, who plays Alice Tremond, and she mentioned
Mary
when they were talking about the names, that it was to do with the fact that the Tremonds take over homes.
Yeah,
they come in and they take over, and only in that moment did I make the connection that that is also what owls do in nature. They don't build nests; they take nests over.
And the owls are not what they seem.
They're not! They're not, dude! It's a... This show is so good! It's so good! It's so good. It's so cool! It runs so deep, and there's always something else. If you look for it, you will find it. And I know that you're just supposed to figure it out for yourself. We'll never get the answers, but if I can make a connection like that for myself, I win.
Sure.
I won in that moment when I thought of that.
Definitely you did.
Like
you said it earlier and I was like, that's actually very
I cool. got what I needed mm-hmm. out of this episode.
Yeah.
Only
from being here.
Only after coming here and having these conversations
yeah.
did that close my cycle. And I can be satisfied with this series just with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
A few cool things, you know, especially with the first Tremont scene from season two, it all led to the diaries, the secret diary stuff with Harold Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And that plays more into this Carrie Page thing with the one missing page, which I love. The connections mm-hmm. are there. There's connections with Sarah, too. Like, if perhaps Sarah was possessed by Judy, you remember things can happen just like this?
Yes.
I'm saying that, yeah. When she's in the convenience store, grocery store in part 12, she does say things can happen
mm-hmm.
when she's in Carrie's, like yeah. in there, yeah. So that was a cool, like, just Tremont connection there and with Judy.
Yep.
So yeah, just some cool, it's just, again, rewatches, layers that I love, just little things that are cool to piece together. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So anyway, Sarah's not here.
Point being, Sarah's not here. Yeah. As far as this world is concerned, the Palmers were never here.
Another cool detail referencing part 12, just all these part 12 stuff with Sarah, when Al Streamon looks off screen, I got the vibes of Sarah with someone in the kitchen.
Yeah. It's
a very cool connection there. Just like, yeah, Judy's in the kitchen making breakfast. Or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, just something interesting to think about.
Yeah, just another little parallel.
Yeah, just someone's off screen. It's just like, who's talking to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's in the kitchen?
Yeah, who's making you say this?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same thing that we heard in part 12. Not the boy. the boy.
It's wild and something to think about.
So Cooper doesn't recognize these names, and he's heard these names in the series because Donna told him about Miss Tremond in the original show, which gave him a Red Room flashback, and he talked to Carl Rod directly when Chet Desmond disappeared, and he mentioned the owner of the trailers to Chalfont's.
Yep.
So he knows these names. It's not like he's never heard them, but he doesn't react to them here and doesn't piece those things together.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been 25 years since he's heard it.
Sure. But he seems to have some other things. He remembers other things.
Yeah.
Doesn't remember those names. Those have clearly slipped away.
Murray hasn't been jogged yet.
Yeah, right. So he leaves. Right. Or they say goodbye.
Right.
Good night.
Makes it out to the street and, like Tyler questioned, asks himself out loud, what year is this?
Yeah. So another thing that I caught on a more recent rewatch, listening on headphones, the second I swear I hear it, please go listen to it on headphones. I swear I'm not hearing things because I went and listened to it over and over to make sure I heard it. But like the second he starts to move forward to like, when he starts right before he questions it, you hear the first little second of that noise that the fireman plays for him, the little, it's there. And you hear it again right when it cuts to Carrie for a second, like a split second. You listen to the sounds, like it's there. Mm-hmm. I swear it's there.
Sounds like you have a short in your headphones.
I heard it every time. I also get Philip Jeffries callbacks here with, he didn't know what year it was. When he came back to the FBI office.
That's right.
He's like, and he kind of walks the same way when Cooper's like kind of walking forward. And he's like, what year is this? Because he didn't know. It's like 1989. Mm-hmm. He had no idea. And then he disappeared. Much like, well, we don't know if they disappeared, but it was definitely something happened in an instant where he was just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, episode's not over.
Episode is not over. Yeah.
So Cooper asks what year it is, and
what year is this?
Carrie Page turns back to the house, and it's like, and this is just Cheryl Lee.
Scream queen,
but also just emotion projection masterclass. You just see her remember every single thing.
Yeah.
It's Laura again. Like even if this is a copy, all of
it's like the memories all come
all of
back.
The original memories are just
flood back to her,
flooded into this thing,
and
all of that horror comes out at once.
Yep,
and she's screaming at the house, and the house just goes black. But there's this
pop,
boom, this pop,
pop,
and this flash.
Sounds amazing.
Just like it's like the world is a bulb, and it just goes out, all at the same time.
Yeah, the dream collapses.
And that's credits.
That's credits.
And that is how the return ends.
Over the credits, we do get just the shot of her whispering in his ear. Again, just reminding you that, I feel like reminding you that that's important, even though we don't know what that is, which made me scream the Audrey quote, "You're not going to tell me what she said?" It's like, really? You're not going to reveal like, this secret to me?
Whatever it is, that's the answer, and you don't get it.
Yeah, you don't get it. You don't get it. That's like the answer to everything. Yeah.
It's that carrot.
Yeah.
It's that carrot you can't reach.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a goosebumps ending moment for sure. It's pretty unforgettable. Just what a way to go out.
Wow.
Part 18.
Part 18. Tyler, what are your overall feelings about the episode?
I don't know.
He's only seen it one, well, twice.
Twice. Yeah.
One and a half. I don't know. I feel like nothing happened.
The usual.
Just insert my every episode comment.
Nothing happened, but everything happened.
I would like to offer an official apology to Mary Reber, who, when I was watching this on our live stream, first of all, had no clue who she was.
That's true.
Opened the door, and she was being very difficult and short, and I said,
"This chick sucks."
And I just, like, put my head down. I was like, oh, my God.
And then later, they were like, yeah, that's the owner of the house. Oh, well. But
that was a dynamite moment for me.
A testament to her acting was definitely a good job. But I hate how I don't know what's going on with Audrey. Like, what happened to Sarah Palmer? Like, what's she doing now?
Anything.
Where's Leo? I
think
James
that tarantula might have been the end of Leo.
Yeah.
James should have, I don't know, become bedridden after that motorcycle accident. Yeah, I don't know. It makes, of course, makes you want more.
Yeah.
And we all know it will never happen. And it probably shouldn't.
Right.
So I'm kind of at a point where I'm like, I think I need to watch everything again.
Yeah, the reins are off at this point. You can
watch at your own
you
pace.
Can do what you want. Everything. You can watch it all again. You can watch none of it again.
Yeah.
You can.
And you may not feel like me because, like, what I'll say is that the first time I saw it, I didn't know what to think. It wasn't just a, like, oh, God, they didn't give me any answers. Great. I'm mad. It was just like, I'm going to be thinking about this forever. That was, like, what I thought. I was like, and it just made me want to go rewatch it more. And that's just what I've been doing. It's just like, and it gets better every time. Pick up stuff. Again, like, it fascinates me how even just the little thing of finding that, like, hearing that sound, never heard that. And
I'm always pick up on these weird things. And I never verify.
And that was just...
So I'm starting to think you just make them up.
Go verify. Verified.
Verified. TP.
Yeah, no, and it's not a happy ending. Like, it doesn't come across as a happy ending. Depends on... But also depending on which theory you buy.
What happened to... Which we'll talk about. Cole.
Gordon?
Didn't he, like, disappear with...
Well, Jeffrey said he'll remember the unofficial version. That was the last we heard of anything about Cole, was just once Jeffrey sent him back in time, he's like, Cole will remember the unofficial timeline, basically.
Mm. I need to see it again.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
I will need to rewatch, for sure. I could be satisfied with this as the end of the show. I could. Because it's open-ended enough, but it's also plainly stated enough, like, it doesn't stop. Like, you can try as many times as you want, but there are forces outside of your control. Like,
try as many times as you want to do what? I feel like there's no clear objective.
We never really, like, at first we thought it was to stop this.
Well, we found out in 17 it was Zhao Dex, so that was...
First we thought we needed to catch a killer. Then we realized we needed to stop a killer spirit. Then we realized we were...
A bunch of fools.
Stuck in a loop, that there was a greater force at work, and then you tried to stop that from doing what?
Yeah,
what's the problem?
Because Bob just went rogue and started killing people. Like, as far as we know, Judy hasn't actively hurt anybody. She's just molding reality to fit her own
mold. Judy not Trailian?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, she cut a couple people to shreds.
Or if she's in Sarah and ripping people's starts out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so redacted. Judy's a murderous monster demon.
Yeah.
But it's just shaping reality to what end?
Right.
To do what?
Yeah.
Like, it's this unknown. And you don't know what you're trying to stop or what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
But we understand by the end of this, like, there's really nothing you can do.
Yeah.
There are two opposing forces. They're both doing their best, and neither one can really be stopped.
Yeah.
It doesn't end.
It doesn't
time end. And time again. Yeah. It's a fan going in a circle. It doesn't stop.
It's a fan going in a circle.
Everything's a circle.
It's just like I've said before, like, I feel differently all the time with, like, just how I think the ending went, because there's so many different ways it could go that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the beautiful thing about it, is some days I'm like, okay, did they win? I don't know. It doesn't seem like Cooper did, because he's confused and I hate seeing him this way. He doesn't know what year it is. But then Lara snaps out of whatever Tulpa thing she's in,
mm-hmm.
gets her memories back, unfortunately has to relive her trauma head on to kill Judy in this world with the dream collab. Like, they lured Judy into this world and now she's gone. You could totally look at that as being the, like, they won, even though it, like, doesn't look like they won.
What is it? Like in Inception, if you
it would be
pulled into the dream, right, and you die in that dream.
Right, it'd be like a suicide mission, destroyed, which you also don't want to think either. You're like, man, that sucks too. But they won, mm-hmm. you know. Or
maybe that's all Twin Peaks is Inception. Like, getting right? a loop is a new dream, like a further
pretty much
in the dream.
Right, dude. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we can safely say it all occurs in the same universe.
As the Matrix.
Yeah.
Again. Second time tonight. Yeah. But then you could say, yes, they failed. Like, the mission, it looks just
what
on
the
outside.
Mission?
Again, with Judy. Well, I think the mission was to get rid
of
Judy.
See, we're just in a loop.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. You're right, because it could be anything. But there's just not another show that I can, like, I get closure with a show, I don't think about it ever again. Okay, cool.
Right.
This one I'm, like, constantly, brain's just, could be this, could be this, could be this.
Yeah, the world is awesome. So interlaced and complicated, because there's no set for sure reasoning to anything, it's nothing but theories and rethinking and overthinking.
Also, another thing, when I heard that sound, like, when he starts to move his, like, it's basically like when his shoe hits the pavement is kind of when you hear it. It reminded me of Albert when he moves his shoes, when Gordon's got it cranked up to the mat.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that a clue just so I'd, like, hear that, you know? It's just like those little things. I'm like,
Cole's dreams.
Yeah, because I was like, what was the point of that, you know, like, other than him just turning his volume all the way up? That was back in, like, part 4.
Right.
And the window wiper assassination.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that thing just, what?
Mm.
Yeah. So again,
maybe Lars' scream blew out his hearing aid.
That's a theory.
Maybe season 4 starts with Annie, or not Annie, Shelley, and Cole on their honeymoon.
It's true.
The way it was always meant to be.
Yes. No hearing aid.
Before we get to Unsolved Mysteries, I posed a question to our Twitter and Instagram followers, what they thought of part 18 when they first saw it. And I'd like to read a few of those.
Yeah. In a segment we call Twitter Responses.
That's great. From @JohnClark1 on Twitter.
Yep.
It has exactly the same impact as the end of season 2. When you first see it, you're horrified and disappointed and you think that can't be it. But over time and a few rewatches, you eventually realize it's absolutely perfect. @JohnClark1.
I actually did love the end of season 2.
Yeah. Tyler's reaction was amazing to that.
What?
Season 2?
Yeah.
That was bullshit.
It's an awesome ending. I can see where, like, of course, fans had to be so enraged at the time. But, like, knowing, but I didn't watch it till later and knew that there was, like, another season. So I'm like, all right, it's fine.
Yeah.
Got a short one here. This is @EliRedman. I was disappointed at first, but have come to appreciate what we got. I feel like there's a lot of answers that are like that, you know. And again, I feel like I don't say, like, I never said I was disappointed. I just knew, like, I was going to be thinking about this. At warm, quiet night, as soon as the credits started rolling, I completely broke down and cried my heart out, and I still can't articulate exactly why. I've rewatched parts 1 to 17 many times, but I can't even bring myself to touch part 18 again. Yet I consider part 18 to be the best thing I've ever seen. Pretty wild.
I mean, like I said, there's a...
They wrote that so you would read it.
Maybe. At warm, quiet night.
There's so much emotion in that last moment before the lights go out. That it's reliving the horror all over again. Mm-hmm. And you as a viewer are forced to relive that horror.
Yeah.
It may not impact the same with everybody.
Yeah.
But if it hits, it hits.
Right.
I definitely
still
understand that.
It keeps bringing that same question up. Like, did Coop bring her back to elicit this response? Like, what's...
Right, yeah. Like, what was the end game? That's why I think, yeah. If it was to trap Judy, it was just like, yeah, what... You wanted to bring her back here to do that? But if that was the only way to win... That's what I was saying. She had to relive her trauma at a cost.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Maybe that was the only way.
Right. Got a video.
Uh-oh.
Hey guys, Jasmine here from Damn Fine TV with my thoughts on part 18 of Twin Peaks, which is just one of my favorite episodes of television ever of all time. I think it is exactly the way that the return needed to come to a close. You know, it didn't all of a sudden try to wrap everything up in a nice little bow. That would have felt super out of place for the vibe of the return. I love the way it keeps you thinking about it, how it's so open to interpretation. It's something that I don't think I'll ever stop contemplating. All of its implications for the world of Twin Peaks as a whole and for, you know, our particular characters like Dale Cooper and Laura Palmer, it's sort of haunting to think about, honestly. But yeah, love it. Loved it that day that it first aired. Love it even more over the years. And I will say, if I had one tiny criticism, there's just not enough Bobby.
Thank you, Jasmine, for that
this is
video.
Not enough Bobby. She's a Bobby girl. That's pretty funny,
she is
actually.
She's absolutely a Bobby girl, 100%.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel the exact same way. It's just, it's such a huge open loop for the world of the show and the lore and how deep it runs. And you can go back, watch it from the beginning, and see all of this at work the entire time. And it just really comes to a head here. It's just... It is kind of perfect.
Yeah,
I agree.
From one of our Patreon supporters, Stephen Hines.
Mm-hmm.
First time I watched it, I felt like I had been sucker punched. I was completely lost and baffled. But at the same time, I wanted to dive right back in and try to understand.
Good luck.
But yeah, of course you immediately want more.
Right.
Like it's like, that can't be it. That can't be all. Because like I said, when I was watching it through the first time and I got to part 17. I saw there was an 18. I thought, we're out of time.
What else can you do?
What do we do?
Yeah. You start a new story.
Like this can't be it.
You basically reset everything.
Starting positions.
Yeah, you go back to starting positions. Exactly, yeah.
See, Tyler?
From one of our Patreon supporters, Laura Palmer fan.
Wonder what they're into.
Twin Peaks. I think basically everyone shared a sense of disappointment at first. I certainly did. But over time and looking at it within the whole context of Twin Peaks, I think it's kind of perfect ending. I think it's kind of a perfect ending. The feeling it creates is indescribable, tragic, confusing, scary, truly Lynchian. Every time I see it, it makes me want to go back and start all over again. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Hours upon hours worth of theories that describe it as anything to the final meta fourth wall break, to a heroic victory, to someone waking up from a dream, to a tragic failure. Got another video. Thomas C. at A Damn Fine Cup of Joe on Instagram.
Hi, people from Talking Backwards Pod. So I'm sending you my thoughts about the ending of Twin Peaks The Return. Episode 18 really had the perfect ending, in my opinion. It shows a trauma is not easy to erase. Like, Cooper tried to go back in time and to save Laura, but... Laura was already lost when she was meeting Leo and Jacques. She had been abused by her dad for years, as we've seen in Fire Walk With Me. And so preventing the murder doesn't erase all that incest. It's super dark, but very appropriate for Twin Peaks as an ending. These are my thoughts. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
That's good.
Damn fine cup of joe.
Thank you. A damn fine cup of joe.
I liked his acknowledgement that she was already lost.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Like, keeping her from being killed doesn't mean that she wasn't beaten down beyond recovery at that point already in her life. Something I hadn't even really thought of. Like, it's not just saving her life that's important. You would have to go back further.
I don't even think Coop saved her. I think he just delayed it.
Yeah.
And then when her body disappeared from under the rock, it probably just, like, washed up on the other side of the rock.
It just
came washed up somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, that's, like he said, that's dark, but that's probably true.
Yeah. This is at Connor_Stevenson06. I think it made the whole story of Twin Peaks come full circle. David Lynch never wanted Laura's murder to be solved, but the network forced him to reveal the killer's identity. I love how the mystery is once again in an unknown and unexplained state.
That's true. It is that.
That goes back to season one.
Yeah.
Or I guess season two, really, or mid-season two. This was supposed to go on for an undisclosed amount of time before we ever knew anything substantial.
And even if then.
Yeah.
Never.
I think it would have been forced eventually, just like it was forced, but It just make you wonder if he had his way, how long that would
be. I mean, just the way that he was forced to make that play then, he had to change the narrative later to make it fit his grand plan. Very Judy of him.
The last one I got is a little lengthy, but this one is from at 30 Rock with me, the 30 Rock Twin Peaks
That's
mashup account.
Brilliant.
Yep. They said, God, so I was at a show and went to dinner the night it aired, and my friend said, oh no, you're not going to be happy. Twitter's mad at David Lynch for the finale. And I figured they would be. I watched the next day and remember it so well. It felt like the beginning of The Return. There was no way he'd suddenly give us the linear plot and solve it all, especially with so many characters and threads out there. 17 was so gorgeous and satisfying that I started to think maybe I was wrong and he was going to give some resolution. He tied so much of it up with a bow and then slowly unraveled it through 18 that it was unsettling, but in a beautiful way. But when Coop uttered those words, it hurt so much. To see our hero so shattered and lost, it really did hurt. And I was bothered for about a week. It really stuck with me. And I asked a friend who also loves it what she thought. And she was deeply affected too. And I wouldn't change a thing about the ending. That's true art. Makes you feel powerful things whether you like that feeling or not. It remains my favorite season and my favorite work of his.
It's kind of the hero's journey equivalent of being just on time for your flight and realizing you're at the wrong airport.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It is.
It's like, oh man, we just made it. But yeah, to the wrong place.
We're in the wrong terminal. Yeah, we're on the wrong plane. Yeah.
Or we are in the wrong concourse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a real rug rip.
It's a rug rip.
Like we did everything right.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
And also just.
And we still lose?
The whole thing is just unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. And again, I said this about pretty much the entire Return. Like, what was going to happen around any turn at the beginning, didn't know who we were starting with at any episode, and 18 is just proof of the unpredictableness of this show. It's wild. And Tyler, we have some questions. Got some unsolved mysteries.
Unsolved mysteries.
Is it future? Or is it past?
Nope.
Every answer is going to be no.
Let me tell you now. It doesn't matter.
If it is future, they'll make it past. If it is past, they'll make it future. You're stuck.
Yep. A loop.
It's called a loop.
Called a loop.
Who's the dead person in Carrie Page's house?
Chet Desmond.
Aged and deaded.
Deaded.
In this world of wild.
Chet Deadman.
Chet Deadman.
What did Laura or Carrie whisper to Cooper in the red room at the end?
I'm gonna lean up against your ear and talk to make these people think that I'm telling you something important.
Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon.
Yeah.
I think it was something along the lines of, this will never end.
Unsolved mysteries.
Time to rate, as we only can.
Nothing left to do.
But to rate. On a scale of 1 to 5, James Hurley foreheads.
In a segment we call...
Talking Foreheads.
James.
It's pretty perfect, good. Perfect. Yeah.
Who goes first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Tyler.
I'm going to disappoint you both.
Uh-oh.
3.5.
Whoa. That's not a disappointment at all.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad considering.
Almost as shocking as the part 8 score, which has nothing to do with the show.
As we've said.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think it's even more so now how well that does play into the show. Now that you've seen it all.
Yes.
Dave.
On my first watch, it would have been pretty low.
How low?
I'm talking a 2-3.
2 would have been crazy.
On my first watch. Just because it was extremely unsatisfying. But revisiting, having conversations, it is now so satisfying, and I think it really couldn't have stopped in a better way. A happy ending would not have fit this universe.
Right.
And I would be remiss to not give it a 5. So I'm going to give it a 5.
Just 5.
Wow, all right. You have turned a corner. That's pretty good. Pretty shocking.
Yeah, I've really opened my mind and my thinking. I've unzipped my id and exposed myself to the cosmos, and this is what it said to me.
Well done. Well done.
So,
well, you know how I feel, but I've had a lot of time with it as well.
Sure.
I've had almost four years with the show, so a lot of time to think about it. But yeah, it's not an easy watch, but it there's a lot to explore there, and that is why it's so fun for me, and I can't wait to dive in further because there's so much more to talk about. And therefore, I'm giving it a 5.
Just 5.
Talking foreheads, babe.
Talking foreheads.
Oh,
we did it.
We did it. We're done. Part 18 is done.
That's
Tyler.
That's it.
That's all we've got so far.
Thank you for watching and
yeah, thank you
have
for
a nice life.
Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for watching the video versions. If you are a Patreon subscriber, thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers. Stick with us for whatever we end up doing next. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, consider it, but also stick with us for whatever we might end up doing next.
Yeah. We've got the recap episode, we've got the final dossier, we got part 18 theories, we got Twin Peaks and pop culture. We got a lot of things on the docket coming up.
We got goodies planned.
Yeah.
Got goodies in the backlog.
Yep.
But just again, a sincere thank you to everyone who's supported us
and joined us on this journey. Like, it's been incredible just doing this show. Would have never thought we'd be sitting here again. Just absolutely surreal and awesome.
So. Yeah, and none of this would have been possible without the generosity of others. So be good to other people. Be good to yourselves.
Yes. Thanks again to Mary for hosting us. Unbelievable. She's the best.
Yeah. Reach out to us at talkingbackwards.com, at gmail.com, Instagram, Talking Backwards Pod, Patrick.
You can find us on Twitter at Talking Backward.
Tyler.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the end.
This is the end, my only friend, the end.
That's right, The Return, Part 18, The End. It is not happening again. I very much appreciate how the show tied up all of the loose ends. That is how you end a show, especially with the little twist of Cooper's dementia. Really great stuff. But that's not why you're here. You're here to hear some Egg Deviler shoutouts, and let me tell you, I have some. So open up your ear holes and let these names resonate through to your drums. Girl, you know it's true. Our first shout out goes to William D'Amelio, or as they are known around here, Willie D'Amelli. Thank you so much for your support. You are cool. Next up on the list, we have a true fan all the way from the other side of our dying planet, Ito Utsia. Your support means a great deal to us, and we cherish your contribution to our silly effort to bring joy to this niche community. Now, I'm no doctor, but the recipient of my next shout-out surely is. Everyone, put your hands together for the world's sexiest doctor, Dr. Mike. Keep up the good work, doctor. Your healing hands have brought great health to our podcast, and your doctor money has allowed me to finally open up my deviled egg boutique. Stop by anytime, and I will give you a coupon for 3% off any one deviled egg. My next shout-out was something that I struggled with and couldn't quite get a grasp on. It has been on the brain for a while, and as I sit here stroking my head, the hair brushing against my skin, I can't find the best way to get it off. So I'll just be firm and see what comes out. Hairy dick off. Thanks for the support. The aid you have given us in reaching our climax has given Patrick great pleasure, and Dave enjoyed watching it happen. You're a real mensch. Moving on, I know you want Mo, and I only have one Mo out to shout. This shout-out goes to Mo. Mo is short for Moira Quirk, the famed co-host slash referee of the critically acclaimed Nickelodeon game show Guts. Now, I have no way of knowing if this is true. In fact, I have no idea about your gender identity. And it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you supported us with some of your sweet, sweet Mo-nay. And we truly appreciate it. Would we appreciate a little bit Mo? Probably. But we thank you nonetheless. Thank you, Mo. Well, that's it. Those are my shout-outs. Thank you for your support. And thank you for listening.
Anchor.fm/talkingbackwards,
that's home base. Patreon.com/talkingbackwards, if you'd like to support and you like what you hear, give a little, get a little.
We'll see you in the trees.